Open with me this morning in the Word of God to Hebrews, the 5th chapter. Hebrews chapter 5, and we will read the last three verses of Hebrews chapter 5, starting with verse 12, and the first three verses of Hebrews chapter 6. I think a lot of us this morning seem to be struggling with the spring pollen and spring allergies. So if my throat gets one of those tickles, forgive me if I have to get a brief drink. It's good to see the spring coming, even though it's supposed to be below freezing again tonight. Hebrews chapter 5, and beginning in verse 12. For when, for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of doctrines of baptisms, and of laying on of hands, and of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do, if God permit. Let us bow for prayer. Gracious Father, now open thy word to our hearts this day. Lord, this is a passage which most of us probably have memorized. Is it a passage which is so familiar to our minds as to be neglected by our hearts? And so, Father, this day, may we take a fresh look into thy word, and may your Spirit open it to us that we might take it apart and look at it word by word and consider its meaning. And, oh, Father, may your Spirit convict us afresh and anew of our need to be teachers, of our need to be mature Christians, of our need to be those who can handle the strong meat of the Word of God. Bless thy truth to us, we pray, and glorify thy Son. In Jesus' name, amen. We read there in verse 12 of Hebrews 5, for when, for the time, ye ought to be teachers. Time has elapsed in the lives of these believers. This book of Hebrews was written somewhere about 30 years, give or take a year or two, about 30 years after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It was written to the Hebrews. It was written to the Jews. And to whom first came the gospel? Well, the gospel was first preached to the Jews. And it is likely that some of these that were the recipients of this book of Hebrews had been present for the feeding of the 5,000. Many of these that were hearing this book of Hebrews read probably were eyewitnesses of the resurrection. Some of them may have been saved and baptized on the day of Pentecost. Can you imagine the spiritual blessings that these have received? And now about 30 years has taken place since those events. And here we read, for when the time ye ought to be teachers. Time has passed, but the question must be asked of these Hebrew believers, and ask of us as well, what have we done with the time? I think most of us at some time or another have been in a setting where the boss has walked in 15 minutes before closing, 15 minutes before quitting time. And suddenly everyone in the room has thought, oh, what have we done with this day? What can we show the boss that has been profited? We've been here for 7 hours and 45 minutes. Certainly something has to have been accomplished. What tangible proof can we show the boss that we haven't just been goofing off all day long? For when the time that ye ought to be teachers. What improvement have you made by grace since the day that you repented? Mm-hmm. What has been added to your faith? What do you mean added to your faith? Well, that's scriptural language, folks. Yeah. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us unto glory and virtue. Besides all this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. For if these things be in you and abound, they make that ye shall neither be barren nor without fruit in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so again, may we ask ourselves, what have I added to my faith since repentance? What have I done to improve my spiritual state? Have I been diligent in the Word of God? Have I sought out strong meat? For it's the time that we ought to be teachers. It's the time when we should be able and equipped to begin to share with others rather than just taking the meat ourselves. But not only should we ask, what have I added? How have I improved by grace? And don't miss that word by grace, because it's not our own effort. It's all of grace. But we're given that grace that we might improve. What has been added to my spiritual walk since I repented? And on the flip side of the coin, what has been eliminated? Yeah. What has changed? What has been cut away because it was nothing but diseased? I pruned my apple trees this week. And one of the things that you do when you prune an apple tree is you look for branches that are diseased and you cut them off. And this season, most of us that have pruned trees had a lot of diseased branches because the cicadas last year, remember those big swarms of cicadas, they ate into the bark. And so there was a lot of branches that just had to be eliminated because they had about 3 to 6 inch strips where the bark was stripped off the tree. And disease had gotten in there over the winter and the bark was flayed out and it was not profitable. It had to be pruned away. For when the time ye ought to be teachers, time has elapsed. But what have you removed from your life? The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. But now ye also put off anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouths. Line up to one another, seeing ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. And so first of all, we see that time has elapsed in the life of these believers, but also that duty has been neglected. Time has elapsed for the time ye ought to be teachers, and duty has been neglected for ye ought to be teachers. Do you remember the old saying, I could have had a V8? I mean, it was a, you know. This is not a could have been. It doesn't say for the time that you might have achieved something. The time that you might have been teachers. No, it's the time that ye ought to be. There was an expectation here that these believers would be bearing fruit. that these believers, many of whom, as I said, probably were there at the feeding of the 5,000, were there on the day of Pentecost. They should have by now been teachers. They should have by now been exhorting the young and helping to strengthen them. The time when ye ought to be teachers, a duty has been neglected. When Christ came to the barren fig tree, there was an expectation of fruit. And the barren fig tree was cursed because the fruit was absent. And when Christ gave talents to his servants, or the parable, you understand what I'm saying, when he gave talents 10, 5, and 1, the one was just as expected to multiply that talents as the 10. There was an expectation of fruit, and so duty has been neglected. And this is not to say that everyone is supposed to be a preacher or a Sunday school teacher, but rather we find in Scripture that everyone is to be an exhorter, whether with 10 or with 1. In Deuteronomy 6, in the instruction for parents, it says, "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children." A lot of us grew up in homes. I didn't. I was the youngest. I was the baby of the family. But I know some of you grew up in homes where the 10-year-old helped take care of the infant, where the older children helped care for the little ones. The 10-year-old can only help take care of the infant when the 10-year-old has reached a degree of maturity themselves. Mm-hmm. But there's that expectation in a lot of families where the older children help to care for the younger children. So it is in the church of God. And that 10-year-old that helps the infant, that 10-year-old has not reached full maturity themselves, but they have reached a point where they are able to help others. And that is the model that's being given to us here for the church of God. Not all exhorting in the same way, not all exhorting to the same level, but there in Deuteronomy, the parents are teaching the children. They're talking of these things when they walk by the wayside, when they're out in the marketplace, when they're in the store, when they're at the job. A duty has been neglected. And then again in Titus, in the New Testament, the aged women likewise, that they behave themselves as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the younger women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their husbands, and that the word of God be not blasphemed. And so, we find, first of all, that it is the time that ye ought to be teachers. But then continuing there in verse 12, in the time, for when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. And again, here we have two elements to consider. First of all, to be taught again, and secondly, to be taught the first principles. You have need to be taught again. If you look down to verse 1 of chapter 6, the next chapter, and of course our chapter and verse divisions were added for our understanding, but were not in the Greek or the Hebrew. In verse 1 it says, "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works." In other words, not having to lay again the foundation. When you have to tear a building down to its foundation and redo the foundation, there's serious trouble. The foundation was never solid in the first place. It was never laid properly. And that happens sometimes where a building is worthless. You just got to tear it down and start over again. Lay a new foundation because it was never on solid ground to begin with. Well, here ye have need that one teach you again. The foundation itself is suspect. The foundation itself is not laid firmly. We have need to be taught again like the children of Israel in the wilderness, We read of in Psalm 106. We've been to Psalm 106 a lot in the last month. But in Psalm 106, verses 12 and 13, they believed his word, they sang his praise, they soon forgot his works, and waited not for his counsel. These Christians, these believers who should have been teachers, instead of being teachers, they have need to be taught again. They have need to start from the very basic level. In 2 Peter 1, verse 9, "But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins." But the second element that we have here in this second phrase of the verse, first of all, they have to be taught again, but secondly, they have to be taught the first principles, the very basic things. This, I believe, my friend, is the foremost reason for people doubting their salvation. I believe that this error that we find here in Hebrews 5:12 is the reason that many people doubt that they're truly saved, because they're still babies. They have indeed repented of their sins. They have indeed been brought by the grace of God to the knowledge that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that they are his own elect. But years have passed, duty has been neglected, and the time that they ought to be teachers, they have need to be taught again the first principles. They have need that these very basics of salvation, which should be the foundation of that which they're teaching to others, rather they need to be taught themselves. And remember that this book of Hebrews is written to Jewish believers who are being tempted to go back to the law. That's the whole theme of the five chapters that have preceded where we are, showing the superiority of Christ to the angels, the superiority of Christ to the law, the superiority of Christ to the Old Testament priesthood. Yeah. But they were tempted to go backwards. In Galatians, turn with me, let's go over there. Galatians 3. You'll recognize the verses, but I want to bring out a couple words in Galatians, and it would be good to see them with our eyes. Galatians 3 and verse 24, a verse probably most of you can quote, "Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith." The law was the schoolmaster. The law was the instructor to bring us to Christ. But the context of that verse is found in the succeeding chapter. For look over at chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 3. "Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world." The word "elements" there in Galatians 4, verse 3, is the same word "principles" in Hebrews 5:12. And so here in the author of Hebrews is saying you need to be taught again the first principles of the Word of God. And in Galatians, we find that word again, that we're under bondage to the elements of this world. Okay, so what are the elements of this world? Well, it's the miry clay that we stand in. It's the mud and dirt of this world that we ought to be getting rid of. And so on the one hand, we have the first principles of faith over against the first principles, or could we even say the last principles of the world. Those elements that we're supposed to be freed from. If you look down to verse 9 of Galatians 4, "But now after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements under which ye desire to be in bondage?" And that word "elements" again is the same Greek word that's first principles in Hebrews 5. And so you're still mired in this world. The first principle of salvation is what? Repent. Yeah. Turn away from the elements of this world. Let those things go. They're holding you back. They're mud. I know every one of us at some time or another have walked through mud and it's stuck to our shoes and our feet get heavier and heavier and heavier. the elements of this world are holding us down. Mm-hmm. And so here, time has elapsed and duty is neglected. And they need to be taught again, which be the first elements, the first principles, the very basic things of faith. And then again, in Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and following, as ye therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of this world. And you guessed it, that word rudiments there in Colossians 2:8 is this same word elements again. It's the same word first principles again. And so, these believers, they were getting caught up in the law. They were getting caught up in their old religion. They were getting caught up in the things of the world. They had never been able to shake off the elements of the world to receive the first principles of the things of God. When the first principles of the Word of God are neglected, the work of grace is soon forgotten. And as I said before, I believe this is where so many people end up doubting their own salvation because they've never grown. Hebrews 5:12 continues, and ye are become such as have need of milk and not of strength, of strong meat. You're become such. A baby's born needing milk. Right? A baby's born needing milk. But here, and if I say Paul, forgive me. I know some of you will say, yes, Paul wrote Hebrews. I'll say, no, Paul didn't write Hebrews. I think Paul wrote Hebrews, but that's not the point. But the author of Hebrews says, you're become such as need milk and not strong meat. And remember, we talked about again just a moment ago. You've reverted. And so it's not only that these believers have not gone forward, they've gone backwards. You're become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. Let me read verses 12 and 13. And we're going to look a little bit at verse 13 now. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. That word unskillful is used one time in Scripture. This is the only time we find it. It is a standalone word. I love to take a word in Scripture and look at other verses and compare how it's used. We don't have a comparison for this one. But I think its meaning is clear. Mm-hmm. It means one that is inexperienced, one that is a beginner. Another biblical word, different word in the original, but another biblical word is a novice. And there's a warning in Scripture that a novice is not to be put in places of spiritual responsibility, lest they be built up in pride. Mm-hmm. My friend, are we novices? In the time, we ought to be teachers. Paul, speaking to the church at Corinth, the carnal church, in 1 Corinthians 3, said, "And brethren, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as spiritual, but as carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hereunto, ye were not able to bear it, neither are you now." And in Isaiah 28 and verse 9, "Whom shall he teach knowledge, and to whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. Those are the workmen that need not to be ashamed." And so, the first we find here is that these believers, after the passage of time, have neglected the duty that they had to improve on grace. Verse 14 of Hebrews 5. "But strong meat." Well, just ponder that. I don't need to explain that to you. I don't need to expound on that. but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. The word belongeth there is fascinating. I was just really excited when I found this out. The word belongeth is used, is translated is, over 700 times in your New Testament. It's a to be verb, is what that word belongeth is. It is an exception we have here in Hebrews where it's translated belongeth. Strong meat is to them. And you can see where the idea of possession, of belonging to them, strong meat is to them. It's a to-be verb. Strong meat's to them. It's not to the babes. Strong meat is to them. For strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. Now, if these Hebrew believers were about 25 or 30 at the time that they were witnesses to the resurrection of Christ, they would be 55 to 60. I'm 58, and in our day and age, 55 to 60 is not very old. But in this day and age, 55 to 60, that was getting up there. That was the equivalent of 75 to 80, 85 and more in this day and age. These folks were aging out, so to speak. They were of full age physically, but they were still babes spiritually. But strong meat belonged to them that are of full age. And this word full age is used twice in this context of Hebrews 5 and 6. If you look at Hebrews 14, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, chapter 6, verse 1, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. It's the same root word between the two. In fact, this word, full age, I'm going to show you several passages where it is translated perfection. Full age is the adjective form of the word in verse 14, whereas in chapter 6, verse 1, perfection is the noun form of the word. In other words, in verse 14, we have a description of someone who is of full age. But in chapter 6, verse 1, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection. It is the noun form. It is the achievement of that. It is the substance or the realization of the thing. Let us go on to full age. And again, remember, it's the time they ought to be teachers. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, when he was giving the reasoning behind God giving spiritual gifts, he said that he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the knowledge of the Son of God unto the perfect man. And there in Ephesians 4:13, perfect man is the exact same word as full age here. In other words, that God gave these spiritual teachers, these leaders, for the purpose that we all be coming to perfection, that we all come to full age, that we all become teachers of good things, that we henceforth be no more tossed and fro, to and fro with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in him that's in Christ. And again, we find that same word, for Christ said in Matthew 5, verse 48, be therefore perfect, even as my Father which is in heaven is perfect. And that word perfect there is full age. In other words, Christ said, be mature, even as there is completeness, as there is fullness, as there is perfection in my Father. And so, strong meat belongs to them who are of full age, but how did they get here? How did they grow up? Well, a baby naturally grows. A baby naturally grows. But a baby does not naturally grow healthy. Think about that. We see pictures in some foreign countries of 10 and 12-year-old children that look like they're 5 or 6 or younger, with swollen bellies and malnourished, and arms and legs that are skinny and puny. Oh, they're alive. But that's about it. There's no health there. There's no vigor. Failure to thrive is the term that's used for it. Failure to thrive. And I believe maybe all of us, probably most of us, have at some time or another worked with or cared for someone with a developmental disability. And those dear individuals, I've worked with them for many years, and they are some of the sweetest, gentlest, most wonderful people you'll ever work with, ever have the privilege of being in contact with. And yet there's always a bit of what could have been. There's always that thought that this individual didn't reach what we would have hoped for them. Intellectually, they're still babies. They're still very young. They're 3-year-old or 4-year-old intellectually. And there is a sadness with that. Now we find here that strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, that have reached that completion, that perfection, even to those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. There's been some effort here, folks. This didn't happen in a vacuum. It didn't happen all by itself. The most important word there only has 3 letters, and it's the word use. Use. Who by reason of use. What have they used? Well, they've used the word of God. That is the strong meat that is being spoken of here throughout the passage. It is the strong meat that is that which they're to be teaching. In verse 12, first principles. In verse 13, unskillful in the word. Verse 14, strong meat. That's the context here, folks. It's the word of God. What is the first sense that a baby has? Hearing. Hearing. The unborn child that is here with us this morning can already hear. Can already hear. Oh, not discerning as we discern speech. And yet, even in the womb, that unborn child can hear, can respond to sounds. Unborn babies like good music. The first sense that a child has is hearing, and faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. But these young believers haven't been using their ears. The very natal sense that was given to them by grace. For what did Christ say to the Pharisees? You cannot hear my words. But my sheep hear my voice. They heard, but they didn't pay attention. Strong meat belongeth to you, those who by reason of use, they've used what they heard to the profit of their soul. And the hearing that is used to the profit of the soul is not coming to church once a week. but rather it is a daily searching the scripture to see if these things be so. It is not simply hearing someone speak for 35 or 40 minutes one day a week, but rather it is searching the scriptures and digging and reading and hearing not the voice of a man, but hearing the voice of the Spirit of God speaking through the Word of God. Strong meat, to be verb, belongs, pertains to, is applicable to those who by reason of use of that which they've heard have exercised their senses to the discerning of good and evil. Ah, that describes someone who is apt to teach. That describes someone who has reached a spiritual maturity where they're able to take the Word of God and to give an answer of the reason of the hope that lieth within them. We ought to be teachers, folks. We ought to be grown in spiritual things. An infant has no sense of danger. An infant has no sense of good and evil. An infant has no situational awareness. They're just a babe. They need someone else to do everything for them. But they can hear. And an infant very quickly begins to learn. It knows its mother's voice the moment it's born. An infant begins to learn what things mean. Are you hungry? Does it hurt? Are you sleepy? And the baby very quickly, even through cries before its speech develops, begins to communicate and let you know what it needs, let you know what it desires. And that infant will begin to learn the language, learn to speak, and will increase and grow. But these had not. These had not. An infant cannot sense danger, but on the other hand, consider the soldier in the field who is very sharply and keenly aware of everything around him. His senses are heightened. He's alert because there is danger. And that is what we are to be in this world. We're to walk circumspect. We're to put on the armor of light. We're to quit ourselves as men. We're not to be babes any longer. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised. Those senses have been honed by danger. Those senses have been honed by study of the Word of God. Those senses have been honed that they may discern good and evil. And there's a whole sermon, folks, just in that phrase, good and evil. What was it that Satan promised to Adam and Eve in the garden? It'll be as God, knowing good and evil. What was it that Christ came to do? He came to restore the image of Adam. And here the child of God, redeemed by grace, saved by the blood of the second Adam, as he grows in grace, he's discerning what? Good and evil. The very thing that Satan promised and could not deliver, God by grace does deliver to the child of God. In 1 Corinthians 13, verses 10 and following, but when that which is perfect is come, and folks, it's the same word in Hebrews, that which is a full age, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. When did we put away childish things? When that which was perfect was come. And it's the same word, a full age. They had the Word of God. they exercised themselves in the Word of God, and therefore they were able to discern good and evil through the Word of God. Now, where does that leave us today? What are we to do? Well, in conclusion, let's go down to chapter 6. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. It doesn't mean forgetting the principles of the doctrine of Christ or leaving them behind, but in other words, growing to perfection above them. That's the foundation, the principles of the doctrines of Christ. We don't need to lay that foundation again. But therefore, leaving, going on from, growing upon the principles of the doctrines of Christ, let us go on to perfection. Let us go on to full age, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. Verse 3, and this we will do if God permit. Oh, this we will do by the grace of God. This we will do, God being our helper. Oh God, help us day by day to exercise our senses in the Word of God, that we may be ready and able, redeeming the time, not neglecting our obligation. May we go on to perfection. May every child of God be a teacher and not a babe. Let us stand for prayer. Oh, Father, we thank you for this most familiar passage of your word. May it teach us vital truth this day. Oh, God, give us grace to grow. Give us grace to fulfill our obligation. May we never be barren fruit trees, barren fig trees. May we never fail in our obligation before you. For, O Lord, we know it is the time that we ought to be teachers. Grow us up in the most holy faith, we pray. In Jesus' name.